avenue that we need to be participating in together. Our first goal is connect, or to be one. How do we do that? And that's kind of what we're talking about this morning. We have in our youth group, and we got some new shirts we just made, and it says it on there, we're imperfect vessels showing perfect power. I think that is the challenge to being one, because we are imperfect vessels, and we are trying to show the perfect power that God sees through us. If the world can see our unity, though, our oneness, I think they're going to see that perfect power. And I think we're sitting here today because those before us practiced this type of unity that's seen by the world around them. That was attractive to them. It was something that they wanted to be a part of. And we ask the question then, does the world see that in us today? Do they see our unity? How was their unity seen? You know, when we look at the early church, we see their unity displayed regularly with the things that they devoted themselves to doing regularly together. Keith read this for us about Acts chapter 2. We're not going to reread the whole thing. But we see what they were doing together. All these things, as it starts out in verse 42, they're devoted to doing. Some that we talk about quite often. And when we hear this phrase, as I phrase it on there, share the table. Maybe we think of these tables and what we share together, the Lord's Supper. And that's a very powerful reminder of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the breaking of the bread, the sharing of the cup. And that's certainly something that we keep in mind. But it's not the focus of the lesson this morning. There's something else I think we often don't talk about that comes from this section of Scripture in Acts chapter 2, that when we read it, we see this powerful influence that it has on our unity. So what do you see when you look at it? I made it kind of obvious. I made something in red there for you, so you really see what stands out that we're going to talk about today in Acts chapter 2. They're doing all these things together. They're learning together. They're breaking bread together, referring to the Lord's Supper together. They're spending time together. They're taking care of each other's needs. They're selling things if they have to. They're worshiping every day together. But then look at verse 46. They're eating together. I love that part because I love eating. So I'm like, yes, let's talk about eating together. They're sharing their lives with God and with each other. They're sharing their tables. And why does it matter that they shared meals in their home together? This may seem like a very small detail in Scripture, but why does it matter? You know, the important thing we might say, and rightly so, that the important thing is that they're there for worship, right? That's important. That's what matters. Being here for worship certainly does matter. And if we're not willing to do that, if we're not willing to come and be a part of worship together, then maybe we need to look at our commitment to God. But let me ask you this. Is your faith simply a checklist of showing up once a week, or is it a relationship with someone that you cannot imagine not being around? Those are two very different things. Is it a checklist that you've shown up once a week, or is it a relationship with someone you can't imagine not being around? If your faith is a relationship with God, then it's going to change the way that you think about God's people. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, he says, there's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no slave, there's no free, there's no male or female, for you are all one in Christ. Their relationship with God began to change the way that they saw the people around them. It was very different than the world looked at the people around them. You don't talk to those people, we don't associate with these people, those people are not the same as us. Then Paul's writing to them, you are all one in Christ Jesus. Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free, men and women, all of these different worlds that did not mix in their time, they certainly did not eat together. But in Christ, all of that changed. And in Acts chapter 2, what we just read, they begin sharing a faith, they begin sharing life, they begin sharing a table. And the world around them began to see this unity between them. And there's this genuine care, not just obligated worship. It's a key factor in their growth. Psalm chapter 23, verse 5, we see the familiar verse. It says, you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You know, when we hear this phrase, prepare a table, It means God's preparing a table intended to be shared. We know it means to eat at someone's table. If someone offers you an invitation to eat at their table, it comes with an understanding that maybe there's peace, there's fellowship, and maybe that table invitation either comes with the idea and the need for reconciliation to happen around the table. Sharing the table carries great importance, but it is something that we read in Scripture and we often miss its significance. If you start looking back, go to Acts chapter 16. Really what we're going to find, we find it all over the place, that they are sharing meals together. Acts chapter 16, the jailer and his family were baptized, and here's what we find them doing immediately. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and they rejoiced along with his entire household that they had believed in God. Think about this. Paul and Silas are taken out of jail to have dinner with the jailer and his family. That did not happen, right? This is what was taking place normally in the jail. Are you guys hungry? You want to come over for dinner tonight? Let me just undo your chains and let's go. No. What has changed in their life? What made the jailer share his table? They have a common faith now, and immediately they're brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't we eat with our brothers and sisters? What does it say about us if we never do? But it's more than that. Sharing the table had great significance to people. It had enormous part to do in the covenants that we find in the Bible. When you go back through the Old Testament and you find people who are once enemies are certainly not friends, and they make a covenant with each other of some kind, they didn't just shake hands and walk away or grab their thigh like you did in the Old Testament. That's weird, but that's how they ended the covenant. Okay? They didn't just do that and that was the end of it. It's a business agreement. They shared a covenant meal together. So we find these shared meals between all kinds of people. Like in Genesis chapter 26, you have the Philistine king and Abimelech. They just shared this covenant together. And now it says in chapter 26, verse 30, they made a feast and they ate and they drank. They didn't have to do that. But why were they doing that? We find Genesis chapter 31. Laban and Jacob eating together to celebrate their covenant that they had made. In Exodus chapter 18, Jethro and Moses are sharing a meal that was eaten, it says, before God. That's where they ate this meal. What about in Exodus chapter 24, if you want to turn over there? Exodus chapter 24 says Moses, very significant covenant between God and Israel, and Moses offers this sacrifice to seal the covenant with the blood of the covenant. And then look what happens in Exodus chapter 24, starting in verse 9. It says, then Moses and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as there was pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God, and they ate and they drank. We need to be very careful that we do not forget about these meals who are shared between people who made a covenant before God. When we make a covenant before God, fulfillment of this covenant will most always involve the people of God. We're not just making this obligation to God, we are making an obligation to His people. We are obligated, the Bible says, to care for each other, to consider others better than ourselves, to encourage one another daily, to confess our sins to each other, to pray for each other. Can I fulfill all of those things and more without investing in you? No, I can't. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It would be ignoring the purpose that you have been given in each other's lives and in the church to not do those things. God is placing us in the church, and He puts us together to strengthen our faith so we all make it to heaven together. There's going to be times when I'm weak and you're strong. There's going to be times when I'm strong and you're weak. And sometimes these things are accomplished by sharing the table together. God just doesn't want a covenant agreement with each one of us individually. He wants us to commit to each other collectively. He adds us to his body and he says, each of you are needed and you need each other. These meals are not just the sacrifice to God. They offer the sacrifice, but then this was something that didn't just benefit them. It pleased God. To see God watching people who just made a covenant to him begin a relationship with them by sitting down and eating over a meal. What is it about sharing food together? Now, growing up as a preacher's kid, our table was always open. We always had people over. It seemed like every single week we had someone over. It's how I got left at the church building one Sunday. I woke up and my mom thought I went with my dad. My dad thought I went with my mom. Lots of people at the house. No one knew kids were missing until we called. So make sure you memorize your phone number, kids. But we loved to eat. We did. And we didn't have a lot, but we always had food for some reason. I don't ever remember there was a meal that we didn't have. We always ate. And some of my favorite memories from my childhood were not at Disney World or somewhere fun. It was sitting around the table with friends and family and the conversations that took place around sharing the meal. Sharing the table is about investing time in each other. You know, that's why we have these meals with our teenagers. They need to share a table together. They need time together. They need a place to eat and invest in each other. They need to develop care for each other face to face. That's why we invite any of you to come as well. It's why teen parents, I hope, that you come and experience the same thing with each other as well. We need time together around the table. So an inventory questions this morning. Is your table open? Are people often invited over? Or do you only eat with the same closed group of people? What does that look like? What does that say about us? Why does it matter? Jesus had to eat. I love that about Jesus. When you think, what? How can I be like Jesus? Jesus ate. I love to eat. So that we're already on the same page, right? But like us, he got hungry. And like us, we have the option of eating alone or eating with others, don't we? We can have these shared experiences with other people, or we can eat alone. We always have those choices, don't we? Every day. You know, we may eat alone and we may be physically full, but we are missing the opportunity to be spiritually full and to fill someone else up. Every time I get up from the table with my brothers and sisters in Christ, I feel encouraged. I feel more connected to them, and I now know things that I didn't know if I had never shared the table with them. Jesus' table, think about that. It's an odd thing because Jesus really probably didn't have a table, but he shared food all the time with people. He's always feeding people. In John chapter 4, take some time to go read that. He says he has very different food. And what he is sitting around the table feeding is not the food that you may be consuming. But he's feeding people. What invitations did Jesus accept? I can't think of any invitations that Jesus turned down. I think you have, if you look in the life of Christ, you find all these very significant things that happened in the ministry of Jesus, and they happened over a meal. We can go through a long list. We're just going to mention a few. I mean, even from his very beginning, his first miracle, he's done at a wedding where he's turned water into wine over a meal. He's eating in Luke chapter 7 at a Pharisee's house, and his feet are anointed by a woman with oil. He feeds 5,000. He feeds 4,000. He eats with Zacchaeus, makes a very important point to him. He eats with Mary and Martha. And the lesson that they learned around that meal. He shares a meal with a risen Lazarus. How weird would that be? To eat with a guy who was previously dead. Oh, can you imagine that meal? How quiet that may have been. Then you have the meal of the Last Supper. The things that they needed to hear about being a servant. And even after the resurrection, guess what? It's how he meets his disciples. eats fish with them on the beach. When he wasn't eating, he's talking about food. Why? These are often the analogies that he gives. These are the parables that he tells. These are things that he continues to talk about because we all need food. So he brings it up. It's part of his ministry. It's a part of what he's doing day and night. He's talking about food. He's gathering around tables with people because it gives them time. Was it really about the meal? Jesus knows we are people who will not get everything we need from food. Food is what brings us together, but it is something we all need, and it takes time to prepare. It takes time to eat it, and we need time with each other. So sharing the table is not really about the meal. It's about feeding the soul of those you share the table with, allowing them to feed you. It's about fellowship. It's about communion. It's about unity. It's about being one. David Roper says we should ask whether or not we are as concerned about our relationship with our fellow Christians as they were in the first century. Are we committed to getting to know our brothers and sisters in Christ and express our oneness? Maybe you say, but if I share the table, they might know me. Yes, that's the point. God already knows you, and he knows you need to share the tables with others so they will know you as well. Unity doesn't happen by sitting in the same place every week with people. While we are unified in our acts of worship and our common beliefs, our unity needs to extend far beyond this gathering. You know, we should have as much desire to sit down with each other, share a meal together, as we do to come here and share the Lord's Supper together. They're both vitally important to our unity. I hear from people all the time who say they don't feel connected to anyone in the church. They feel lonely, surrounded by people. And maybe you sit here this morning and that is your reality. And God has given us this avenue of fellowship, and he says it's such a bonding source of unity that we need to make a priority in our lives and in our faith. You know, if I share the table with you, I'm going to find out things I did not know about you in a handshake in the building. Sharing the table provides this opportunity to talk about faith together, struggles, challenges, get godly advice from people in your lives, to encourage each other, to pray together. I know you're hungry, and I hope you're paying attention. We're almost done. Luke chapter 22, Jesus says a dispute among arose them. A dispute also arose among them. We'll read that right. As to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become the youngest, and the leader as the one who serves. Whoever is the greatest one who reclines at the table or the one who serves. Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You know what I look forward to? Sharing the table with Jesus in his kingdom. Jesus says to the church in Laodicea, he says in Revelation chapter 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and he with me and eat. Jesus wants to sit down at the table with us. Let that sink in. How eager are we to sit at a table with each other? Our unity is strengthened around the table. It is. So what am I encouraging you to do? I think you figured it out by now. Share the table. Make the effort to share the table with others regularly in your lives. It's a place of evangelism. It's a place of strength. It's a place of unity. God has provided us this opportunity because we all eat. So share the table. Don't sit back, though, and wait and see, well, if that's what we said today, I'm going to wait. I'm going to see who invites me. Don't do that. Because if we're all busy inviting each other, that's not even something that comes up in your mind. That's a place that brings bitterness and regret, and you think, well, no one wants me to sit at their table. And obviously, that's not the point. That's not going to happen if we're all in the practice of regularly inviting each other. You say, well, I can't fit people at my table. Fine, meet at a restaurant. As we said, Jesus didn't really have a table. Meet at your house, go to a park, wherever it is. Make a habit of sharing your table with people, investing the time you get around a meal. We need to see each other as family, related or not. God has given us each other as family. And all of that changes with the blood of Christ. And God's called us out of the world. That's really what the word church means, being called out. If you're not yet part of that family, God adds you to his family through baptism. And Jesus says, if anyone comes to me, he must believe that I exist and turn towards him and away from the world. He says with our mouth that we confess that Jesus is Lord. And then we are surrounded by this new family and we walk together in a new life, sharing tables together. If you want to begin that walk today, or if you need the prayers of this family about something you're struggling with, we've made time to do that as we come and as we sing.